Amen. Thank you, Brother Strode. Appreciate that beautiful song. And I hope that everyone enjoyed the song. I do want you to pray for me this morning as I stand here before you. And I'd like to invite your attention to a few verses of Scripture that'll be found in the 31st chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 31, and I have selected some verses to read. I'm not going to read all of the verses in that chapter, but beginning at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that she shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And then I'm going to drop down to verse 25 and continue to read. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now that's my lesson for this morning, and I pray that God will bless the reading of His Word, and that it'll be for our good and for His honor and glory. Now, I've used this passage of Scriptures many times in funeral services of elderly sisters, but I don't remember ever having used it as I'm going to try to use it today. And I need the help of God. So you pray that God will give me leadership and direction. Now, this lesson that I read in here, in your hearing, it tells of a man who found a virtuous woman. It tells about the love and the care that this virtuous woman gave to her husband so that he would have no need of spoil all the days of his life. And then it tells us about how that she cared for her family. And how that she worked and labored to care for her family. And then it tells us about her children, how that they rose up they blessed her. And her husband also praised her. And she was a virtuous woman. And so that kind of gives you an outline of this book, this chapter rather, as to what it contained. And I want to use as my subject title for today, Mothers of Life. Mothers of Life. And as we get further into the message, you'll understand why I chose that title for my sermon today. Now, I cannot mention the name of every mother that is present here today, or those who are watching and listening by Facebook. But now I can mention some of the perils and some of the burdens that mothers, that are common to mothers in this life. And that's what I want to do. I want to start out by saying motherhood is not easy. And you may say, well, what do you know about motherhood? I lived with my wife during the time that she was carrying both of our children. And I saw the changes that took place in her body. I saw the emotional changes that she experienced. I saw the discomfort that she felt. I saw the morning sickness that she had. I saw her while she was experiencing back aching. You know, her back was aching. I saw her swollen feet and legs. On top of all of that, while all of this was going on, she was still cooking my meals. She cooked my breakfast. She cooked my supper. And many times she cooked my lunch as well. And she did the washing and the ironing for the family. She cleaned the house. And with some of you, while you were doing all of this, you were working at a public job as well. Now, I think it's probably an understatement to say today that motherhood is not easy. And I want to honor the mothers, and I want to give God thanks and praise for them, for the gift of life that they gave to our children, you know. My subject is Mothers of Life. Now, the other day I was on the computer, and I run across a list of little one-line funny sayings, you know. And I want to share one of those with you right now. The story went that this mother... her and her husband had a small child, about 5 years old, I believe the story went. And so they, when they found out that they were going to have another baby, they were talking about it, and the mother said, "I think I'll go and look through my old maternity clothes and see if I can still wear any of them." And so she went to the closet and began to look through the clothes. And the little boy came in and he said, "Mama, are you going to have to wear those eternity clothes again?" Well, you know, I guess sometimes during pregnancy, it seems like eternity. It probably seems like it's never going to end. But the point I'm trying to make is that motherhood is not easy. I want to go back to the book of Genesis now. I want to set forth the model that the Lord gave, you know, for marriage and for family and for children. In the book of Genesis, you know, the book of Genesis, the word Genesis means the beginning, the beginnings. And the book of Genesis tells us about the beginning of the heavens and the earth. Tells us about the beginnings of creation. How this world came into being and all the things that are in it. There's a good education to be found in the book of Genesis. And anyway, the Bible tells us that God created the heavens and earth. And God created all things that are therein. And I'm not going to try to mention all that, but I do want to mention this, that God created all living creatures. The Bible tells us that He created all of the living creatures that are upon the earth. And then the Bible tells us, I think that was on day 5, if I'm not mistaken, that He did that. And then on day 6, He made a man. He made a man, the very first man that ever existed. He was made in the likeness and the image of God. His body was made from dust. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And then God planted a garden, and he put the man in the garden alone. He was by himself in the garden. And after a period of time, God said, "This is not good. It is not good that man should be alone." He said, I'll make a helpmeet for him. So God had all of the animals to pass before Adam, all of the creatures that he had made. And he said, whatever name Adam gives to them, that'll be their name. And they all passed by. And as they went by, Adam said, that's a dog, you know. That's a cow. Oh, there's a squirrel, you know. Whatever name that God gave to those creatures as they passed by, that's the name by which they were called. But after they had all passed by, the Bible said there was not found a suitable helpmeet for Adam. Not one of those animals was a suitable helper for Adam. And so God said, I'll make one. I'll make one. You know, God, he's omnipotent, and he can do anything he wants to do. And so God, he caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And God took a rib from his side, and he made a woman, and he brought her unto the man. Now, you probably have heard other preachers say this before. I know I have. But it's no less the truth. God took a rib from the side of Adam. Because, you know, men and women are supposed to go through life side by side. I know some of you are old enough to remember Patsy Cline. That she sang a song. It wasn't a religious song, but it was a truthful song. And she sang the song, Side by Side. And that's the way God intended for us to live, as husband and wife, and as man and woman, side by side. A man is not supposed to have dominion over the woman. He's not to push her around. You know, he's not to mistreat her in any way. The Bible said, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. It's God's will, you know, that we go through life side by side. So he didn't take, a bone out of the foot and make the woman. He didn't mean for man, you know, to trample a woman or to mistreat her in any way. He didn't take it out a bone from his head. He didn't mean for man to be a lord over his wife. God meant for us to go through life side by side and to enjoy life. Now then, when God made this woman, she must have been a beautiful woman. I suppose she was the most perfect woman that ever lived. I'm of that opinion. I could be wrong. But anyway, she was no doubt a beautiful woman. And God brought her and gave her to Adam. Now, that's the pattern. That's the model I want you to think about today. You know, God wants... he wants to bring men and women together. If you young people that are listening to me today, you are reaching the time in your life when you're thinking about dating, you know, and you're perhaps thinking about marriage, and you need to choose very carefully who you're going to choose to be a mate for you. To go through life side by side with you. God brought this woman to Adam. I believe that God brought me and my first wife together. We were of like faith. We both were old-fashioned Baptists. We both had an experience of having been saved by the grace of God. We believed in going to church, and we believed in prayer, and God brought us together. And for 58 years, we went through life side by side. I lost her in 2011. She passed away, and I had to say goodbye to her. But the Lord brought me and my present wife together. Just like my first wife, we believe the same thing. We hold the same principles, and we belong to the same kind of church. And we believe in worshiping God, and we believe in prayer, and we believe in living for the Lord. Now, folks, that's important. If you want to have a happy life, if you want to get through life without so many terrible distractions, there are enough as it is. But if you need it, if you want to get through life, you need somebody that's compatible with you. And you shouldn't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And so the first thing, when you begin to date and you begin to think about a boy, you choose carefully who you go out with. Now, that's the model that God gave us in the Bible when He brought Eve to Adam. And they began a life together. They began a life together. Now, you know, God made only two species of human beings. He made a male and He made a female. And that's all there are. That's all there's ever been. That's all there ever will be. Every little baby, every one of them's just alike, you know. They're made, their bodies are made just like their daddy's body. And all of the little girls, you know, that are born into this world, their bodies are just like the bodies of their mother, you know. And so, two species, God, He knew what He was doing when He'd done all of this, you know. Now, when I was in Detroit, Michigan, excuse me, I pastored two churches in Detroit, Michigan, and I was pastor at Faith Missionary Baptist Church, and I know there are some of the people that are members up there are listening to me right now, and I'd like to say I still love you, and I appreciate you. But anyway, I was pastor there, and there was a couple that were members of our church. Eva and Jim, and you know I can't think of their last name, but anyway, he worked for the Ford Motor Company, and he worked in the model shop, and that's where every model of the Ford line of cars and trucks, that's where they were designed, that's where the prototype was built, and they would put it together and test it, and they might have to tear it all apart and start all over, you know, but they were building the prototype for maybe 5 or 10 years down the road. And when those years came, every model that they manufactured looked just like the prototype that they built, you know. And well, that's the way it is, you know. With raising a family, you know, the model that God gave for us, one man, one woman, you know, bringing little babies into this world. And I read another little funny on that list that I read the other day, and I want to share this with you. The story goes that this woman, she took her a young son to a wedding with her, his first wedding. He'd never been to one before. And so when the wedding was over, she thought she would just see what he might have picked up during the ceremony. And she said, "Son," said, "how many wives is a man allowed to have?" And he said, 16. And she said, 16? Where did you get that?" And she said, he said, "Well," he said, "it's simple. All you have to do is add them up." Said, "The preacher said how that there's four better, four worse, four richer, and four poor. And he said that, add them up and that's 16, you know. Well, that's not the way it is, you know. God intended for us when we marry to be till death do us part. And I know that's, you know, that doesn't always work out that way. I know it doesn't. And I know that there are a lot of people, you know, whose marriage ended. And you know, sometimes one's to blame and sometimes the other's to blame and sometimes both of them's to blame, you know. Anyway, if your marriage don't last, you know, you just do the best that you can, you know. And people find another mate and they live happily ever after under those conditions. But what I'm saying is the model, I'm talking about the model, the prototype that God made. You see, one man, one woman, together, side by side, till death do us part. And then the children that come along. I said, motherhood's not easy. Motherhood's not easy. You know, there's a great responsibility that goes with being parents. You know, from the time that a child is born, we need to have in mind this child's future. You know, is this child going to grow up and be a good moral person? Is this child going to grow up and know the truth of God's word? Is this child going to be saved when they reach the years of accountability? And I'm telling you that daddies and mothers have a lot to do with that. If you find other things to do instead of taking your children to church, then don't be surprised if they end up turning away from the things that you've stood for. They're most likely to do it. And so we have to give diligence to our children. Bring them up in the way they should go. And the Bible said when they're old, they won't depart from it. And you say, well, I know of people who, have departed from the way they were brought up. And I do too. But you know what? I don't believe that a child that's taught right, regardless of how old they become, they will never forget. Now, they may stray, they may get away from that, but they'll never forget what they were taught. And that's our responsibility. As long as kids are under our authority, you know, we're responsible for them. And we can mold their lives, and we can teach them. Now, when I was pastor in Indianapolis, I don't know how long I've preached, but I'm almost done. But when I was a pastor in Indianapolis, I was visiting people. People hadn't been to church in years. And some of them had children. And I was trying to get them back in church with their children. And I went to this one place, and the husband and wife are both members of the church. And I said, we'd love to see you all back in church. We like to have the kids in Sunday school, you know, and everything. And they said, oh, we've decided that we're not going to push religion on our children. We're just going to let them make up their own mind, you know. Just do whatever they want to do. What a tragic mistake for parents to make. I tell you, if you don't influence them in the right way, the devil and the world will influence them in the wrong way. And so, motherhood's not easy. Now, in closing, I want to say that. You know, Jesus, we've talked about all the mother goes through while she's pregnant. And then the time comes for the child to be born. And then there is the pain of delivery. You know, and Jesus said, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for the joy that a man is born into the world. Now, you know, I'm sure it is a very painful thing to give birth to a child. Oh, but now you just think about it. When that nurse hands that little baby to that mother and she draws him up close to her breast, a bond begins right then that will never end. Regardless how old they live, what they may do in life, that bond, that love for that child will still be there. And the joy, you know, when a baby is born, you won't tell everybody. I worked in Indianapolis, and there's about 100 employees where I worked. And every time somebody had a baby or, you know, why, we'd buy a coat for the whole plant, you know, or something like that, you know. And so I put out the money, you know, for the everybody to have a coat. Well, the night that my firstborn was born, you know, I won't go into all the detail, but I passed out. And so they put a big sign up on the bulletin board, you know. Mother and baby all right. Father still in the hospital, you know. Well, the point I'm making is I was proud. Oh, was I proud. I had a boy. That night when I went home from the hospital, I prayed all the way home and I cried all the way home. And I thank God that He had gave me a healthy little boy. And do you know what? This morning, from 10 o'clock our time until 11 o'clock, that little boy was preaching the gospel. I'm thankful today for my family, for my children. I'm thankful that God blessed our home. And it is truly a blessing to have children. And I just want to encourage you as parents, as grandparents, point them in the right direction. Point them in the right direction. Encourage them. Set the example before them. Don't say, do as I say, not as I do. Say, come on and go with me. And let's go to the house of the Lord. And let's worship the Lord together. Now, I guess I'm finished. I don't know what you think about this as a Mother's Day sermon, but I want to say this. God called His wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Now, the mothers that are here today, you're not the mother of all living, but you are the mother of the children that God gave to you, you know. And they have life. You were the mother of life. They were born with life, you know. And I just hope you have a wonderful Mother's Day. I hope that God will bless you in every way possible. And I know we've already sung Sweetest Mother, but I wanted Brother Strode to sing at least two verses of If I Could Hear My Mother Pray Again. Now, there's a lot of you here. You'd love to hear your mama pray, wouldn't you? You'd love to see her. Like to put your arms around her neck, and you'd like to say, Mama, I love you. Well, in your memory, you can still